Power and Light Company. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 Agricultural Residential District and a C1 General Commercial District to a CR1 Commercial Residential District for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 13.57 acres more or less, the land lying southwest of Handy Road, Road 337, and southwest of U.S. Route 113, DuPont Highway, with no available 911 address and being identified as Sussex County Tax Map Parcels 233-5.00-135.00, Parcel 136.00, Parcel 137.01, and part of 125.00. Mr. Abbott?
The commission held their hearing on this application on August the 7th of this year. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. I provided each of you a copy of that earlier today. The commission received written comments from DLDOT, County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. There was a letter that was received in support of this application. The applicants and legal representation were present, gave a presentation, and responded to questions raised by the commission. There were no parties that appeared in support of or in opposition to this application. On August the 7th, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On August 21st of this year, they discussed this application under old business. Mr. Ross stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone number 1756 for Delmarva Power and Light Company for a change of zone from AR1 Agricultural Residential and C1 General Commercial to a CR1 Commercial Residential District based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, DP&L owns several parcels that are adjacent to each other. A majority of two of them are currently zoned C1 General Commercial with a small area zoned AR1. On another of the adjacent tracks, the entrance area is zoned C1, but the balance is zoned AR1. This rezoning would bring the area that DP&L desires to use for its district office into a single zoning classification of CR1, which is appropriate for DP&L's use of the site. Two, DP&L's district office has been operated from a part of this site since 1972. Three, the rezoning will not adversely affect neighboring properties, the community, or area roadways. Four, the site is in a town center district under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, and CR1 zoning is an appropriate zoning classification in this area. Five, the site has an existing entrance from U.S. Route 113, and U.S. Route 113 is an appropriate location for CR1 zoning. Six, the proposed rezoning will benefit residents of Sussex County by allowing DP&L to reasonably expand its existing use of the property as its district office and to provide additional storage area for utility-related equipment, materials, and vehicles in order to better serve its Sussex County customers. There was a motion and a second that carried unanimously to forward this application to the County Council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 4-0. And once again, we've not received any additional correspondence.
Thank you. Is the applicant present?
Promise this won't be as complicated as the last one.
You see the other one left.
Good afternoon again. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine Burton. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic Carmine and Weidman. I represent the applicant, Delmarva Power and Light Company, who has submitted an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 district and C1 district to a CR1 district for purposes of expanding DP&L's existing district office in order to provide additional storage area for utility-related equipment, materials, and vehicles. And this is on approximately 13.57 acres. Also in attendance this afternoon on behalf of this application is Chuck Moore, seated behind me, He is the senior real property representative of the Real Property Division. That's of the Bay Regional Office of DP&L, and he'll be available for any and all questions that the council may have. We've also submitted a booklet in support of this application, complete with the exhibits, for your review. Again, this property consists of four parcels. They're identified as parcels 135, 136, 13701, and a very small portion of parcel 125, and that's actually identified as Exhibit 6 in the booklet. It's also shown up here. You can see the proposed zoning line here. So this is 125, so just a small portion of parcel 125, and then you have the other three parcels there. These three parcels here are zoned primarily commercial, C1, and just a small portion, triangular-shaped portion on the edges, that is AR1. And then you have a small portion of parcel 125, which is zoned commercial, but the rest is zoned AR1. We're seeking to bring these properties into compliance and zone the parcel and the portion that's delineated on the zoning map there to CR1. DP&L acquired parcel 137.01 on June 14th of 1971. Historically, they've used this property for their district office and have been operating on that parcel since 1972. They acquired parcels 136 in 2002 and then parcel 135 in 2007. It was only in December of last year, 2013, that they purchased parcel 125, so that's the large parcel there at the bottom. And the intent was to use the parcels as one property, bring them into compliance from a zoning perspective, and to expand the existing facility to better serve their customers in the surrounding area by having more area to store their equipment on site, and also to increase safety measures already implemented by DP&L. As I had stated, the majority of parcels 135, 136, and 137.01 are currently zoned C1, with just that small portion on each parcel that's zoned AR1, and the majority of parcel 125 is zoned AR1. The property is located within an area identified in the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as a growth area, specifically a town center. The plan recognizes that significant growth is proposed to be clustered around incorporated municipalities in unincorporated areas just beyond municipal borders. Many of these locations are part of areas that municipalities have formally designated as future annexation areas, where the municipality would be receptive to annexation requests in the future. The permitted uses within the town centers include smaller scale, low impact industrial operations, as well as appropriate mixtures of residential, institution, and light commercial uses should be permitted as well. Thus, the rezoning of this land from AR1 to CR1 is appropriate and compatible with the goals and directions of the town center of the comprehensive plan. The property is also located in close proximity to large-scale commercial uses. It's very close to the Lowe's Shopping Center, various commercial retail uses in that area. We have the town of Millsboro, which is very close by, as well as some light industrial uses and general residential uses. Thus, the amendment to the comprehensive zoning map will have no adverse or detrimental impact on those various neighboring areas or uses. Rezoning of the land from AR1 and C1 to CR1 is also appropriate and compatible with the directions of and goals of the zoning code. The code provides that the purpose of the CR1 commercial residential district is to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a wide variety of commercial and miscellaneous service activities, generally serving a wide area and located particularly along certain existing major thoroughfares where a general mixture of commercial and service activity now exists. Since the purpose of this rezoning is simply to allow an additional storage area for utility-related equipment, materials, and vehicles at the existing district office of DP&L, there will be no detrimental impact on the residential uses which adjoin the subject property or those neighboring uses in close proximity. The property is served by U.S. Route 113, which is a major arterial road which connects major destinations within the county, and Handy Road. DelDOT did not require a traffic study. when it reviewed the proposed use, determined that a traffic impact study would not be helpful or useful in this situation. DLDOT did recommend that the application could be considered without a TIS, and that the need for one could be considered at a date when site trips per day could be predicted with accuracy. So if they intended to develop the property in the future, that, of course, would be a consideration. DP&L has communicated with DLDOT to discuss the possibility of a new entrance further from the intersection for DP&L vehicles, which would reduce some of the vehicles turning so close to the intersection there. In addition, although it wasn't required, since DP&L is considering or exploring possible uses of the remaining portion of parcel 125, that's not included as part of this application, they did participate in the PLUS process and received the PLUS response on June 25th of 2014. PLUS advised that the property is located investment level 2, according to the state strategies for policies and spendings, which reflects areas where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans in the near future. And it specifically stated state investments will support growth in these areas. The State Historic Preservation Office commented and advised that there are no known archaeological sites or National Register list property on these parcels. Notwithstanding, it was suggested that since there are some 20th century houses nearby, they suggested that DP&L consider engaging an archaeological consultant to examine the property for potential unmarked human remains, burials, or cemeteries before they decide to develop any of that property, which, again, they're considering, but there are no plans to do that at this time. DLDOT, of course, requires that the entrance to the property be designed in accordance with their standards and regulations. The Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control confirmed that there are no state-regulated wetlands or state-regulated subaqueous lands located on the property. There are possible wetlands, they advise, which are regulated by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, but that's at the northern and southern points of the property. And as a result, DENREC advised that there does not appear to be any impact to those areas by the intended use. Of course, a sediment and stormwater management plan would be required prior to any development of the property. DP&L did respond to the PLUS comments on July 15, 2014, advised PLUS that they're currently only seeking a rezoning of this property, but will use every effort to incorporate the recommendations of the state agencies into any design plans for future development. And again, DP&L is considering that, but they're not at that point yet. I would like to invite Mr. Moore up to the podium. And you've heard the presentation that I've made to the council this afternoon.
Yes.
Is it your opinion that the representations that I've made are true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes.
Thank you. Based on the record and the presentation this afternoon, we do request that the council approve this application as presented. And of course, we're available for any and all questions that you may have.
Any questions, council?
Well, just show me how you access it right now. Right on 113. My eyes aren't that great. Okay.
Would you like us to bring
it? No, that's fine. I'll take your word for it. I can see most of it. Just trying to figure it out.
There's an intersection of Handy Road and 113.
Mm-hmm. Handy Road. Okay.
We have an entrance right in the front.
Okay. We're coming off of 113 then.
Well, it's off of Handy Road. It's just really close.
In other words, it's not directly into or out of 113.
That's correct.
Okay. So, but you're looking for an alternate method of access.
Looking at the, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay.
Right now, that entrance is actually used by employees and customers alike.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the name of safety,
okay.
Certainly looking at that, yes.
Yes, and they've been communicating with DLDOT with respect to possible entrances.
And you have no plans to generate any kind of power there, do you?
No, it's not.
I mean, it doesn't seem that big.
No, it would be. It would be simply, as Mrs. Carmine Burton stated, it would expand the storage yard.
Right.
Safety internally. Right now, the way it's set up, we have the equipment there, and there are some blind spots, and the bucket trucks, heavy equipment, and other vehicles mm-hmm. that go around the storage yard don't always have a clear vision. So this would allow us to one, spread that out, mm-hmm. to remove some of those blind spots and make it safer for employees, and two, allow for additional equipment in the event we have something catastrophic and don't have the transformers or switches, whatever, there, instead of having to come in into Salisbury or Harrington and haul them back, it would allow us to have it right here on hand for the shore.
They would be stored there then.
For a more immediate response.
I'm just hoping there's not going to be a hum like we had one time over my district, but that's neither here nor there. It's up and we're all right.
Okay. More questions, Council?
How many acres is it?
3.288. 13 something.
0.57.
13.57.
Thank you.
So if you've been under 10 acres, you'd miss the TMDLs and all the other bull that goes with it.
Any more questions, Council?
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone present to speak in opposition to this application? Seeing none, Mr. Vincent suggests we close the public hearing.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with Council. Close public comment. And Mr. Rutt, if you'd read a short title, please.
Yes, this is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district and C1 general commercial district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 13.57 acres, more or less. And this would be for the reasons given by planning and zoning as reasons 1 through 6 as read by Mr. Abbott and contained in your packet.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips, to approve.
Yes.
Change the zone 1756.
With the conditions, correct?
There were no conditions.
Do we have
reason, any questions? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Oh, I vote yes, because of the advice of planning and zoning, and we need to support companies like this. We need their services.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes. I support planning and zoning's recommendations.
Mr. Phillips.
I vote yes. The appropriate use, and obviously a little controversy.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes. On recommendation of PMZ. And if you want to put 3 trucks on it, it doesn't really care.
I also, with the recommendation of planning and zoning, of the reasons they stated, vote yes. Motion carried for the approval of changes of 1756.
Make a motion.
Wait a minute. We're back up. See, I was here for initial use 1992.
Tim in the back?
Yes, Mr. Vincent, we had originally read and called for the hearing on conditional use. Lost the number here.
It's 1992.
1992, which was an application filed by and on behalf of W. Ralph Brumbly. Mr. Brumbly wasn't here at the time, and we deferred the hearing until the end of this session. So. Is Mr. Brumbly or anyone on his behalf present? No one has responded, Mr. Vincent.
So.
I would make a motion, and we, like our policy is, we vote on it due to a lack of record.
Planning and zoning approved.
Yes, they did.
Planning and zoning approved it, yes. He appeared and made a record.
Mrs. Griffith said that we did make a phone call and got no answer from Mr. Brumley this afternoon.
Can't do anything else more than
called and left a message for him, you know, to get here, but that he probably had about an hour, so.
Right.
Is there any?
We haven't heard it, so we can't
approach
it.
Wait a second.
We have a question, Mr. Phillips.
Is there any way that we can allow him to come back in an expedited fashion rather than have him have to wait a year should this be voted down?
You could vote to defer any action on this.
I think that's the smart thing.
You know, to give him an opportunity, see if there was an emergency or something.
Sure. Heart attack. No. I will make that motion to defer this.
Second.
I'll second.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Wilson, to defer on conditional use 1992.
Just defer. We don't have to say for how long.
No.
Okay.
Now, the only question I raise is if in the past we have not done this, I don't believe. I think what we've basically done is
just
we have no record because it sets a precedent. This one was one, it seemed like there wasn't any problem. If it could be a controversial one,
We
either got to do all the same or we don't do it. So I would suggest that we don't do this and just then vote to expedite if he comes in.
How many times those type of moments are after P&Z voted it down and they think it's not going anywhere anyway. I just feel like this application is...
Well, that doesn't matter. I think any application on its own, like whether they go either way, one way or the other, you've got to be consistent with it. And I just say we've not been favorable to being, you know, so gracious with our motions with other ones. So I would just suggest we just be gracious when it comes to expediting them. I understand. We need to be consistent. That's what keeps you out of trouble, Sam.
Would be an emergency. I think we have to have a little compassion, Mr. Cole. You're a passionate conservative, aren't you?
Well, I am, but I also like to be consistent. I like to keep us out of legal problems because this one may not be a problem, but the next one might be. So I just caution you on doing it. I think I'd rather be lenient when the guy comes in with a good reason.
We have a motion and a second to defer on conditional use 1992. But you want to place any kind of a time frame on that? I mean, just so it doesn't go indefinitely. I mean,
the motion is to defer.
Yeah.
If Mr. Phillips wants to amend his motion, he can do so.
I think I can ask Mr. Lawson to put it back on the agenda for old business after I determine if there's an emergency at this point, unless Mr. Vincent, you think a one-week deferment would be...
Well, I think we should not just go on and on and have another time frame to say...
1 week?
Who's going to determine if it's an emergency?
I'll amend the motion that we will defer this for 2 weeks, at which time we'll place it on the agenda for old business in the council's morning meeting.
Okay, we will.
Is the record still open, I guess?
No.
There's not been a record.
There's no record. Open it up again next time.
But it's not reopening. It would be to hear it. It's original. Yeah.
I mean, are we okay with...
There's nothing to defer then.
I guess here's the question.
Think
about this.
He ain't here.
And I'm not opposed to what we're doing necessarily, but we haven't established a record. Okay?
That's correct.
We bring it up in 2 weeks under old business.
It's not.
You can't establish a record then either.
No, because what you would need to do is re-notice this as for public hearing purposes.
I withdraw my motion, Mr. Wilson. Would you be willing to withdraw your second? And I would move that we ask planning and zoning to contact the applicant, and if
we did already.
Appropriate, it could be re-advertised so the public may have proper legal notice of when the public hearing will be held. And
do it expeditiously.
Expeditiously.
Well,
They have to come back to us.
But Lawrence is the one who handles.
Who would notice it?
Public. Okay.
You have to have enough time to advertise.
Correct.
It might be six weeks, but
that's better than a year.
The cost of doing all this is ours,
Mr. Abbott.
For what reason? No reason.
Mm-hmm. Mr.
I don't mind doing that.
Hold up a minute, Mr. Abbott.
You may want to check 115-216F.
Yes.
Tell us what it says.
Surprises.
Failure to appear if a petitioner fails to appear or fails to withdraw his application as provided in subsection E, which is the 2 days before the council hearing.
Right.
You can't consider another application. Anything similar until a year has passed.
Mm. Okay.
We're trying to supersede that provision with this.
That's an ordinance part of the code, and what are the reasons for doing so other than he hasn't appeared?
Potential emergency.
We can't be making things up unless there was a reason here. If somebody came up and said there was an emergency, there's been no evidence of any of this stuff. So please, let's try to be consistent. I'm just trying to keep us out of trouble.
Really being hard on this man.
Mr. Abbey, you read for something else there, or are we still good to go?
I'm trying to see if he got a copy of his council notice. Usually the office sends the public, the public hearing notice for the commission and the council together.
Right.
And he was at the council.
Well, he was at the P&Z meeting, so he must have got the notice.
And typically, the chairman or a commission member always reminds the applicant that they've got another hearing before
right.
council.
Right.
But
I mean, I guess, Mr. Rutt, here's the bottom line question. At the end of the day, can we do anything in light of the fact we have an ordinance? There is no way to...
You have an ordinance that...
That's it.
And it says shall.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think everybody wants to be fair, George.
I do, I mean, too. I agree with you.
Maybe there is some
agree,
but obviously there is...
We don't know.
We have an ordinance, and we have an ordinance, and we have an ordinance, so you can't just decide when you want to use it, not use it. So
yeah, I agree with you.
Maybe we have to change that order to put it in case of emergency, like somebody might be sick, or
that way.
Or maybe he
well, you will have to have a hearing if you want to.
Well, then
do
you
got
to get a definition of emergency.
But as of right now,
we don't.
We don't know. You're right, Sam. We don't know it. But as of right now, by ordinance, we have no option.
It says shall.
Yeah.
So
doesn't say maybe
doesn't
or will or
may.
Could
it
or
shall.
Whatever it says. Okay. So I guess the only motion we actually can entertain is a motion to deny.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. Who made the ordinance to start with?
That's what we do.
Well, this council. A council did something.
You were your predecessors.
Oh, wait.
The guy who sat in that seat.
Do we have not the same powers ahead?
You have to amend the ordinance.
Well, we can.
But that doesn't help Mr. Brumley.
No.
Okay.
Can't just do that.
Mm. All right. Yeah. We're going to back up. Do we have any motion on the floor now, right, Robin?
Could you say that?
There's no motion.
Mr. Phelps withdrew his motion.
Okay.
I guess Mr. Wilson should formally withdraw his.
I did.
He did.
Okay. Oh, so. Okay.
Can I make a motion?
Mr. Cole.
I'd like to make a motion. We had deny conditional use 1992 due to lack of
record.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver, to deny conditional use 1992 for lack of record being established for council. Questions on the motion?
No.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I'm voting yes for this because it's in the law, and because it's I want to be kind and passionate to this applicant, but the county has spent money to be here, put advertisements in the paper, and I think out of consideration, we should follow that law.
Mr. Cole,
I'll vote yes to deny just due to the lack of record. We've tried to contact the person in the. Fashion that we've done with every previous person, applicant that has not appeared, and we've been consistent with that and had no response, so our only option is to deny.
Mr. Phillips.
I don't think that's our only option. I think if we vote this motion down, we can then vote to adjourn. That would offer him the opportunity to come back when it's on the agenda again. The public hearing can be held at that time. And I believe that we can see no one came here to object. So maybe there was a problem with this application's advertisement. It's something that I think we just need to not rush into because it's going to deny this man a full year before he can be heard on an application that obviously is a positive thing in light of planning and zoning's approval. So I'll vote no.
Mr. Wilson.
Still didn't get it, I guess.
No.
I do sort of have some compassion for the gentleman, but hearing Mr. Rudd's advice and hearing what Mr. Abbott read, I don't think we have any option.
Hard.
No, I'm not hard. I am far from hard-hearted. Trust me. But I will vote yes. Motion carried.
Now, Mr. President, can I make a motion that we adjourn?
Yes, Mr. Cole, you may. Second, Mr. Have a second?
I'll second that.
Mrs. Deaver. Motion to adjourn. Any questions on the motion? I'm sorry, Mr. Phillips.
I should go up there.
I could go down there.
They're looking for an emergency.
I could go down there and second. Represent him.